Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green.
Yeah, we are. We're gonna have a Solartopia, that's right, and we better have it fast, because time is running out with the madman in the White House, who knows for how long, but he's there, and it ain't gonna be, we ain't going to be rid of him soon enough, tell you that. He wants to take us out of the climate accord. Are you nuts? He wants to build more nuclear power plants. He wants to gouge coal, oil, and gas from the planet. He is the ultimate King Kong, and we have got to stop him. This is Harvey Washman. We're back in Solartopia for another hour of green power and wellness. We're going to talk today about stolen elections and everything that you need to know about how this lunatic got into the White House. Three great guests today. John Brakey on the road. John, are you with us yet? John's going to be calling in. Mimi, are you with us? Mimi Kennedy.
I am with you. Hi, Harvey. Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. Always a joy and a pleasure to hear your voice, Mimi. And Bob Fatrakis, my co-conspirator, in six or seven, we've lost count, books on stolen elections, including our very latest, The Strip and Flip Disaster of America's Stolen Elections, a full-on history of the catastrophe of how elections have been stolen in this country. Mimi, what do you got for us today? We are hearing more and more now about a new method of counting elections, but let's talk first about these revelations that we're hearing all over the place, including James Comey, who has said, the former director of the FBI, who has said that he has no doubt that the Russians did conspire to hack our elections. What do you got to say about that?
Well, he's correct. I mean, I'm glad he has no doubts that they conspired to hack our elections. I haven't seen all that. What I know and what I've been screaming about like a broken record for 12 years or more is that the elections are hackable. So no matter who you blame, the fact is the door is unlocked and wide open to our ballots, and we have not been able to get either of the major political parties to say they care. And when the Green Party went in to hand count ballots that had been scanned, they were denied those ballots in precisely the counties where it was most important the ballots be matched to the digital results. And what's astonishing is that what they've found, or say they have found, is that the Russians sent these phishing emails and had targeted county officials, various state and local officials, and that they had been most interested in gaining access to statewide voter registration rolls, which is what Help America Vote Act demanded, and everybody thought was such a good idea. And people would ask me, well, do you believe in online registration? I mean, that's okay, isn't it? And I would say, well, yes, because you can go in and check your own registration. If something's wrong with it, it's accountable to your name. You can change it. Then, as a poll worker, Bernie versus Hillary, I found enormous amounts of people changed to vote by mail voters and their registrations changed to strange parties or the opposite major party. And I found so much of it that if it happened in every precinct, nobody complained because it just happened to them as an individual. You can shift an election. You've thrown it already. based on what people who are on the registration rolls. This isn't even counting the voter suppression that goes on in states that are not California. We don't have that particular problem here, but we have hacked voter registration rolls because that VR company that was intruded upon maintains the statewide voter rolls for California. So it's all what we've been saying all along. And P.S., once you're into the voter registration rolls, what that gives you is how many Democrats, how many Republicans, who's inactive, who's a vote by mail. Maybe you want to change somebody to vote by mail, so they then have to vote provisional, and maybe you don't count the provisional votes, or you count them so late, it doesn't matter. This is where absentee fraud comes in, and I've been suspecting it a long time. So everything revealed, it's not so much the big boogeyman is Russia. Let's all duck and cover in our bomb shelters again like it's 1954. What I care about is that we've set up a voting registration and voting system that is hackable 100 different ways. And yeah, sophisticated people interested in one agenda or another can get in there and do it without anybody knowing. That's what we're finding out now.
Well, it is quite amazing that they're all jumping up and down and yelling about the Russians. And it is interesting to hear about the Russians. I mean, they ran their mafia guy. I mean, there's just no doubt that mm-hmm. Donald Trump is he's a bad man for the Russian mafia. The guy probably has, I think the reason that he doesn't want to share his tax records is because they need money. And, much of what he has is in rubles. And, it's interesting that it takes the Russian intervention into our elections as a catalyst for people to finally deal with the reality that our elections are eminently hackable. Yeah. You don't need the Russians to hack them, for God's sake.
No.
Any Secretary of State, any county election board official can flip an election on an electronic voting machine. We've known that for a long time, but every time we say that, we get called a conspiracy theorist.
And, Harvey, I want to, the language, I'd love to change the language. So when we say electronic voting machine, people go, oh, well, we don't have those here, so we're okay. No, tabulators. I want people to picture a central tabulator. I don't care what it looks like. Maybe it looks like something you use in a recording studio. Maybe it looks like a big UNIVAC from 1970. Maybe it looks like a small laptop. But that is tabulating scanned votes. In other words, those paper ballots are going through a scanner. Those tabulators are hackable and programmable. That's what we're talking about. You never look at the paper ballots. You have something just as vulnerable as an electronic voting machine that doesn't give you a paper trail. So I want to say electric voting machines and tabulators from now on, because the voting machines that are touchscreen, they are tabulating per voter. In the touchscreen, it's all deposited in a memory card. You take out the memory card, and those little digits on the memory card are added to a central tabulator. Now, you can do it inside the voting machine and carry an infected memory card to carry the program, but the program that's shifting the votes is mostly in the central tabulator. And I can't explain now how you get from voter registration rolls into a central tabulator shift of votes, but it is possible. And the one thing that made my heart drop in the Comey testimony was they said, are you absolutely certain that no voting outcomes were changed? And Comey went, yeah, I'm certain. And I thought, oh, shit. I think he's an honest man, but once again, just because he's out of the FBI does not know that he's a cybersecurity specialist and knows what can be done. Woolsey, at that testimony in Capitol Hill, James Woolsey, ex-CIA, may have, and the two cybersecurity experts, a hacker and a defender, the kind of deep state operative types that were also on that panel saying, better get to paper ballots, people, and look at them, or our elections are over. They know. You can weight voters. You can do a lot of things once you know what the voter rolls are. And you can change them.
Well, there's no doubt that, when I wrote the history part of the strip and put disaster, America stole elections, I mean, This has been going on. It's mostly race-based. It's been going on since the beginning of the Republic. And, you know, all it's done now is gotten to a new level. We're with what's called a high-tech Jim Crow at this point in time. And, you know, what Clarence Thomas and his hearings called a high-tech lynching, we're now at high-tech Jim Crow, where the elections are being just stolen, manipulated. People are stripped off the voter rolls. This weekend, this past weekend, I saw Greg Kallas, the best democracy money can go by. Again, you know, making it crystal clear that hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people have been stripped off our voter rolls. You know, we got to take stock here. Donald Trump lost the official vote count by 2.8 million votes. He lost the exit polls in Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan, and all five of them. And yet, all five of them were officially given to him. Mm-hmm. But what we don't also say, and needs to be said, is that prior to the election was pre-rigged because hundreds of thousands of mostly black and Hispanic voters were stripped from the voter rolls. Although I did hear Greg Kallas talk this weekend about a Korean-American group, an Asian-American group in the district in Georgia where the special election is happening, where 10,000 people were registered in this district and were the county board of elections and never entered them in. When the people said, well, okay, but we have photocopies of their registration forms, these people were prosecuted for photocopying registration forms, even though the election board refused to enter them in and make these people registered voters. We're talking
about 10,000
people.
Right. What does that tell us? No accountability at the county level when you're the county board running an election. Processes in these 7,000 jurisdictions are almost entirely up to the people in charge, and no one is minding the store. The Secretary of State is supposed to be minding the store, but over and over we find Secretaries of State who have no idea about cyber intrusions. That's why, you know, Mr. Russia or Uncle Joe or Aunt, you know, Frances, whoever it was, went to the county officials as well as the state officials because that's a way around. There is no accountability. We don't have the proper laws. And if we did have the proper laws, there is a great deal of confusion about who is supposed to enforce voting laws. You got a sheriff going to show up at the county tabulator on election night or, say, the 10 days of early voting or when the absentee ballots are separated for their envelopes starting 10 days before the election, depending on your state and the laws in your state. I know that's true for California. I couldn't really tell you what it is in Florida. So as an activist, to some degree, my hands are tied to speak rationally about anything, and people love it that way. And I didn't know about that, but I am not in the least surprised. And nobody is saying, except for the people suing for a paper ballot in this June 20th upcoming special election, the bellwether in Georgia, it's going to be conducted probably on those Diebold machines. And what is so disheartening to me is that means perhaps there's some sort of conversation going on, people going, you better not touch that this time. They might be looking. Okay, good. Well, then at the generous whim of some fraudster who decides to let a special election be honest, isn't that nice of them? We'll have a democracy. I mean, we're back in royal kingship. Oh, may the king smile upon me. It's very disheartening, and we have paper ballots in California, that far we've gotten. I'm now trying to instruct our legislators about fraction magic, tabulation programming that can weight voters, weight races, install a pre-program percentage. This is all tinfoil hat stuff they thought before. But now that we have what they're blaming on the Russians, they're at least showing that intrusions, they always go, we don't know how far they got with that phishing attack. Well, if they got anybody's entrance credentials to the system, the election system, they've got the whole shooting match. And the fact that they go, we don't know, I hope that's part of the investigation. But I'm not holding my breath because when Comey said for sure couldn't have changed any votes. There's the firewall going up from an honest man. And I really, you know, as I say, I believe, at this point, I don't believe it's a conspiracy of anyone with an agenda to keep the knowledge of our vulnerability from us. But I believe that devil sows confusion, and the fraction magic and fractionalized aspects of our system have made it very hard for Humpty Dumpty. You know, all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put this egg together again, but we're going to friggin' have to, and we know how to do it. So John Brakey's method and paper ballots are the way. I hope we'll go there, and I guess we have to get through this stumpy.
I think we might have John Brakey on, maybe. Johnny, where is
he? And I'd love to jump into this conversation just briefly.
All right, well, wait, John, tell us,
right
John,
on.
John, yeah. Hello, John, tell us who you are, yeah. John Brakey, tell us who you are.
Well, John Brakey with Audit AZ out of Arizona. I've been on the road the last couple of weeks, you know, we did the left forum, went down to D.C., we're getting ready to go ahead. We got a big article coming out tonight that is all about this subject of what our esteemed colleague Bev Harris calls the Brakey method, which puts the brake on election fraud because of these ballot images. So just jumping back about Comey is that, you know, before the election, he got in front of Congress and he assured them that our elections are not on the Internet and not connected at all. I went to Wisconsin, two teams up there. And what did we find? We found in Milwaukee, Waukesha, and other counties that refused to hand count their votes, okay, that they were using cellular phone modems with SIM cards built into the system. And they're saying, well, it's a closed network. Nobody can get in. But the reality is we always have thought this since 2000 is the insider, the person who does the stealing. Most fraud is done by insiders. And this system of having these SIM cards is the perfect delivery device for launching fraction matches to get into the system.
So John, can you guys hear me?
Hold on. Well, wait.
Okay.
I want one of you to explain exactly what a SIM card is and what fraction magic is.
Well,
John,
I'll do the SIM card, and I'll let me do the fraction magic.
Okay.
The SIM card is a communication device that goes into a cellular phone that will go ahead and identify where the equipment is. It's if you have a cell phone, you have a somewhat of a SIM card device in there that has your identification number, and it's like a network. And these SIM cards that I found is built into the machine behind the door, and it was just a cellular phone modem with an antenna with a SIM card built in a closed network that connects the precinct vote to the central tabulator, okay? And it's the perfect device to instantly decide we need to have another point or two or to adjust fraction magic. I mean, if we remember back to 2006, that big election that we know that we, the Democrats, did well, but they still could have done a lot better, was because the programming was planned 4 or 5 weeks ahead. Now they can do it instantly with this system. And that is the scary part. And that's how fraction magic will let me explain that part.
All right, Mimi. Well, so what you're saying about a SIM card is that given the nature of our electronic voting system, which involves about 80% of the country, a SIM card it allows any insider to flip the vote count however they want. Is that basically what you're saying?
From any part of the world. It's the inner.
That's the point. Once you have, someone has mistakenly given you their password as someone who's allowed into these closed networks of the county tabulation system, taking votes from the precinct, delivering them to the central tabulator. You know, whether
With a SIM card in a phone, if you have the basic code, you can flip an election in America. And you don't have to do it from the Kremlin or
Yes.
And so our voting system, is about as secure as a submarine with a screen door.
Yes, that's what, yes.
Okay. Mimi, you want to tell us about Fraction Magic?
Okay. Fraction Magic was found by a computer programmer who also used to be a political operative. His name is Benny Smith, and he's in Georgia, and he is African American. And he told me that he's always been curious. He's science-minded. He likes to look for the truth behind things. And he started noticing that, I'm not sure what he blew the whistle on, but he saw changes in voter rolls in Shelby County, I believe Tennessee, not the big Shelby County. And then he started looking at what that could mean, and what he found was something he recognized from accounting software, which is that you can turn results from numbers into double numbers and then numbers again. Well, what is double numbers? Double numbers is what you need in banking because $1 is 1.00 cents. Or on Wall Street, a trade is, 1.0669. Who knows how long those minute fractions of shares or whatever you're doing go. But that is what can happen in software that counts and includes fractioning. And Benny thought this has no business being in voting software, but it was in the tabulation for the Global Election Management System, GEMS, which was included in Diebold and then also migrated to ESNS. And I now believe that some version of that software is in Sequoia, Hart InterCivic, and those are the big ones. But they do count about 80% of the vote, not just an election voting machine where you're standing in front of it and there's no paper, the ones we worry about. This is in, I'm tabulating the paper votes. I'm an ESNS tabulator, and you can go and count the votes by hand later. Yeah, except nobody does. Then Fraction Magic, what Benny imagined, he reverse-engineered a program whereby he could say, as a political operative, I've done the polling before the election, and I know that Harvey is due to win by 4.7%, and Mimi's going to lose by 2.6%. Well, what I have to do is enter in where Mimi's votes equal, I'm going to get 6% more of the vote than you are by Fraction Magic. And to do that, you have to make, say, Democrats or people you've identified as Mimi voters, where, by race, by party, fool around with some independents. But you have to say there were 1.93 votes, and Harvey's voters are worth 0.86 votes, say. And once you start adding them up all that way, then Mimi climbs ahead of Harvey, even if she's getting fewer votes. That's a program, and you can infect a tabulator with it. You can tell the program to use Fraction Magic and count that way, and then turn the numbers back to whole numbers when you're done, so no fractions show up in the tally.
So
it rolls over perfect, matches the vote totals when they match up. If you had 999 voters and you put a formula in there, without the fraction, you would have a vote too much or too less, and it would give a clue there's something wrong. It rounds perfectly if you do it right.
So between the SIM cards and Fraction Magic, our electronic voting system is completely worthless. put it mildly. Bob Petrakis, are you with us yet?
Undetectable. And it's undetectable. People aren't looking, and they have, I've heard many pundits make the very true point that county officials are not rocket scientists or cybersecurity knowledgeable. So if NSA can't prevent intrusions and the military can't and target and Sears, can't prevent intrusions, a county registrar is, county IT staff, they have no idea. how to deal with this. And generally, they're overseen by a contractor like this VR election systems or whatever it's called in, I believe, Florida, which is the one that the records we're seeing identify the Russians as having successfully intruded upon, thus beginning their phishing to the county officials for their login credentials.
Wow. We're talking with John Brakey and Mimi Kennedy, election protection, election integrity activist from way, way back. Bob Fitrakis, have you joined us yet? From Columbus? No, Bob's going to be calling in from Central Ohio, co-author with me of our new book, The Strip of Disaster of America's Stolen Elections. So James Comey has told Congress and the world that he does not believe that any votes were flipped in this election, but that doesn't mean that he was looking for it. And, somebody in this miasma knows that our elections have been hacked, whether the Russians did it or not. Clearly, the Russians had an interest in doing it, and clearly they had the technical capability of doing it. So why wouldn't they? I mean, I don't believe for 1 minute that they didn't. I think that the Russians, along with so many other people, for God's sakes, so many other large vested interests, had a very clear stake in Donald Trump winning and becoming president. Winning was irrelevant. He didn't win. He lost, but he became president anyway. And we're seeing a massive benefit to the Russian mafia. It's an interesting psychological effect because, you know, so many of us grew up with the Cold War, and the Soviet Union or Russia was our ideological enemy. And now we're in a situation where the head of the Soviet, the former Soviet Union, Russia, is a mafia guy. And, you know, he basically, I have read incredible financial journals that Vladimir Putin is by far the wealthiest man in the world and could have assets, personal assets, of up to $200 billion, which actually dwarfs Bill Gates and Carlos Slim and Warren Buffett and these other multi-billionaires. But and we also have a guy in the White House now who's essentially a bagman for the Russian mafia, as best we can tell. Donald Trump may not have had any money. You know, that's, I think, the magic of his refusal to disclose his tax returns. You know, there's a lot of evidence that he didn't have the money, and certainly his behavior when he, as in the White House, has been to do everything in his power to monetize the office for his personal benefit. And I got to say, and I know that we'll get back to the stolen election material, but this is pretty relevant. I mean, I have to say that as a historian, the only previous president that we had who really made the center of his presidency to monetize it for his personal gain was Andrew Jackson. I mean, Jackson had zero, like Donald Trump, Jackson had zero sense of public service. And one thing you have to say about Trump is that he has displayed absolutely no concern for the public good in his taking the White House. Everything that he has done since he's been in the White House has been about personal profit. You know, the whole immigration racket, you know, the drug policy for the private prisons, the dismantling of Obamacare has nothing to do with medical care. It's all about a tax break for him and his buddies and, you know, the guys who are backing him. So their assault on our very, very vulnerable electoral system is, you know, in the great American tradition of Ward Heelers and Tammany Hall and Andrew Jackson, just, you know, stealing whatever votes they need to get in there to steal public assets. And that's what this is about. So, let's, Bob Fitrakis, are you with us? I hear some pots and pans in the background. Okay. All right. So, Bob's not with us yet. I'll count on him to announce himself or crew in New York. Just let us know when Bob joins us. John Brakey, you were talking to me before the show about, and Mimi, you have mentioned now the breaking method. So let's hear about this. What are we talking about in terms of a possible transformation of electronic voting in America?
It's huge, Harvey. It's just incredible. It is like a gift that has fallen. First off, you have to understand how the old system worked. The old system was called Mark Sense technology, and it was developed in the 30s. It really made IBM IBM. That technology, in fact, was used by the Germans in punch cards and computers before the war and during the war, okay? After the war, they developed it, and we all know it very well, even no matter how old we are. I'm 63, and I remember taking the Iowa test and filling a little oval in, okay? And that is the same thing that our optical scanner. And when they read those ovals, they used a light, bounced off a piece of paper, and if it didn't bounce back, that was a decision. And that's how it works. And that means, just like Mimi was saying in the beginning, yeah, we may have paper ballots, but they're unique. And because they're unique and they're afraid of election chicanery, you can't get out. The new system digs this. Now, this is awful important. As the ballot goes through the machine, it takes a picture of both sides of the ballot. It then puts a unique identifier on the ballot image. It then lifts the text using optical character recognition and puts it in a cast vote record. And as the ballot goes out on the DS850 or the off-the-shelf scanners, you can buy them, that it will put a unique identifier on the actual ballot itself, making it accountable. Now, in my court case, my judge ruled from the bench when he did this. He asked Pima County, very simply, Pima County, if you take voted ballots and you make a photocopy of those voted ballots, and then you use those photocopy ballots to count the vote, what makes you think you can throw them away? It's in the chain of custody. I rule for the plaintiff in this case, and they must be protected, and that they are a public record that must be preserved. And that images, you have to realize, fraction magic can change the numbers, but it cannot change a hard copy paper ballot that is identifiable to the original ballot. You see what I'm saying? The originals are hard to get because they're unique and they're afraid, Harvey. And if you've got a hold of them or I, we may have a piece of lead below our finger and make a mark. They have no excuse on these ballot images. And those ballot images, believe it or not, could be put into your computer, and I could give you a computer program that you can watch it count, or you could just go fast and count it. And I'm talking about there's several of these little programs being built. These ballot images could be put online by precinct, and anybody anywhere could download an app and then download those images and verify every race in the matter of a very short time. And that is what works for We the People, is to have elections that are, one, transparent, two, trackable, three, publicly verified. And that paper abstract is coming out tonight on AlterNet by Steve Rosenfield, and it will be connect to a paper that's 22 pages that if people really dig into it, it's going to blow their mind what they're going to find in that paper of cases that I've actually caught election fraud on, or what happened in California, what happened. And all of this comes out of a lot of the primary and what happened in the year 2016, when people suddenly realized that our elections are in trouble, and that people like you and Bob and Mimi and me, we're not conspiracy theorists. We're coming out to become conspiracy factual. We deal in facts.
Well, so are you saying that this changeover in electronic voting machines is going to make it possible for us to have unhackable electronic vote counts?
Do it for this procedure, yeah, but it's not going to stop ballot stuffing, ballot harvesting. There's a lot of other areas that we have to cover. I'm talking about taking the black box and make it into a transparent box. At least what goes in and out is visible. If the system reads like everybody could read the open source. And at the end of an election, I advise use Dr. Phil Stark's method. You randomly pull some images and you say, hey, it added up right. Now I just want to match these images against some of the original ballots just to make sure. And also when you request the data, make sure you get the metadata with it too. There are ways we could do this, but it's not going to be the end all. They'll find another way to steal. That's how power is in my book and how I see it.
Yeah. Harvey, I like to call it just a redundancy. You have a paper ballot, and you have the redundancy of the ballot image check. And everything we do in an election is about deterrence. And what went wrong with the Help America Vote Act and the switch to computers, which people believed in like a new kind of God that would bless us all and make humanity better, was there was no deterrence to fraud. It was like designing a system whereby whoever, as Bev Harris used to say, whoever controls the servers controls the results.
Yep.
And people knew that. It was a convicted felon who wrote the original GEMS tabulating software and put the accounting stuff in there. And people just weren't looking because we were like children, really, worshiping a monolith and, you know, making human sacrifice so that the gods would smile upon us. We were superstitious about computers and we didn't know what we were doing. That's putting a kind face on it, and I'm going to do that. Just, I want to move us forward and get us out of this faith-based voting situation because we see where it leads. Con men. Con men say, have confidence in me. Okay. Everybody, well, daddy, take care of us. That's not good enough for democracy. We can't afford to be that childlike about power, nuclear weapons, massive global economy that when it falters, people don't get food anymore. I mean, starvation, climate change. We have many systems to improve with our human creativity, and somebody snookered us bad with this Help America Vote Act stuff, and the world has suffered for it. So as an American, we just got to plunge forward. But what John's talking about gives us redundancy. Paper ballot plus ballot image, you know, we're going to check. So even if they learn at some point to pixelate and repixelate somehow ballot images in a flash, we still have the paper ballots, and we need to pay attention now to chains of custody, the same way a Brinks armored truck picks up the dollars at the bank. We need to treat ballots that way.
We're talking John Brakey and Mimi Kennedy, two of our great election integrity activists. We were going to be joined by Bob Fitrakis. I don't know if Bob's on. Bob, did you make it onto the show here? I guess not. Okay. So, Bob? No. Okay, so here's the deal. We need to look at what happened in 2016 to this country because this is a massive plunge into the abyss here. In the spring of 2016, we were in the midst of the largest social democratic upheaval from the grassroots in the history of the United States. We had the unexpectedly powerful campaign of Bernie Sanders, who ignited or catalyzed tens of millions, many of them young American citizens, behind an agenda of universal health care, protecting the environment, social justice for women and for people of color, a tremendously progressive agenda surrounding the Bernie Sanders campaign. And he chose, I think, interestingly, wisely, in some ways, to run in the Democratic primaries. And it was the job of Hillary Clinton and her people to make sure that Bernie Sanders did not get the nomination. And you and I, the three of us, with Bob and Greg Palast and Bev Harris and many others, have come to the conclusion that that Bernie was probably the rightful nominee of the Democratic Party, and that the nomination was certainly stolen in California, New York, and elsewhere. And come the convention and the superdelegates, and the first of the Russian hacks, which was to break into the Democratic Party's email and reveal that they had conspired, that the Democratic Party apparatus with Hillary Clinton had conspired to deny Bernie Sanders the nomination, which they successfully did. Then the next phase, Hillary Clinton becomes the nominee, having denied the nomination to this great social movement. And Hillary Clinton chooses a nominee for vice president, even more conservative and less charismatic than she was. That was quite a feat. But she did come up with Tim Kaine. All she had to do to win the presidency, it was clear to anybody at the time, was to nominate Bernie Sanders for vice president.
That's right.
But clearly the Democratic Party was more comfortable with Donald Trump in the White House than with Bernie Sanders, even as vice president. So we get into the campaign. Hillary Clinton runs the most miserable campaign in modern memory, one of the worst candidates we've ever had. I mean, there have been some pretty bad ones. Bob Dole, for example. I think that Hillary's charisma index was right up there with Bob Dole's. I think they were equally exciting. And she wins the election by 2.8 million votes officially. She wins the election in the exit polls in the five states that would have given her the presidency in the Electoral College. But, you know, on election night, through the miracle of the Electoral College, and by the way, prior to this happening, of course, Kris Kobach, the Secretary of State of Kansas, has spread the choice point. Computer program, and eliminated hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of black and Hispanic voters prior to the election. So there is a pre-rigging going on. And while Donald Trump is screaming about millions of aliens voting, in fact what has happened is that millions of American citizens have been denied the vote, which we see in Greg's film, Best Democracy Money Can Buy. And so the election proceeds. Hillary, through some kind of reverse miracle, wins the vote count, loses the five states where she won the exit polls, and the Electoral College makes Donald Trump president. With Donald screaming and yelling about illegal aliens voting. But then they come to find out, and of course, during the campaign, Donald begs the Russians to hack the Democratic Party's emails.
Yes.
Among other things. But he also, you know, as many of us suspected, is the beneficiary of some pretty dubious behavior on the part of the Putin mafia in terms of our electronic voting procedures.
Yep.
Now, we know, of course, through our history, and Bob Patricus and I have looked at the elections.
And Javi, I'm on the line. I'm just listening.
Oh, Bob.
There you are.
Welcome aboard. I'm just giving the Cook's Tour summary here, and then we'll want you to jump in. We know Bob and I and Bev Harris and Mimi Kennedy and John Brakey and Greg Powis and others, John Simon, Mark Christopher Miller, have shown repeatedly that our elections system is eminently hackable. We also know that the Russians have a major interest now in putting Donald Trump in the White House. First, they hate Hillary Clinton, and the feeling is mutual. I guess that she and Putin, you know, had a thing and had a bad breakup. And then they also have not only an interest in defeating Hillary, but the direct financial interest with Donald Trump, which is just starting to come out. We see all the symptoms. You know, there's not yet a smoking gun of a check or a shipment of rubles to the Trump bank account, but that's next. I don't think anybody with even half a brain doubts that Trump has personally profited from his relationship with Putin and the Russians.
Yeah, so there are those who say it's a matter of debt and payment of debt.
Right, and that is probably a reason why Trump is not releasing his tax return.
Uh-huh.
A, he probably doesn't have any money, and B, his tax returns are probably all in Russian. So, Bob Fetrakis, my co-conspirator here, you tell us what happens next.
Well, hopefully at a certain point, people realize that the Russians are just the latest symptom of the disease, that if you allow absolutely non-verifiable, non-transparent elections, you ought to stop it. There's no reason any of this should be happening. I mean, there should be ballots at the least, OptiScans, and there should be open source. Nobody should be allowed to hack and or program computers. I mean, that's the obvious problem. I mean, the Russians just got in the game late because they like Trump.
Mimi, what do you think?
I absolutely agree. This is something that we've been called tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists for even suggesting. But now we're seeing somebody has used the capacity, the fraud capacity in our elections, and it's so complicated. I really think, it's interesting. There's something called demand management. It came out of public relations. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? What it is it was a way for corporations to find out there was a problem or a need, and they would identify it and get all their data, but then they wouldn't let anybody know about it until they had developed a solution that would profit them. And then they entered the competitive arena with a lot of fear and drumming up and talking. You see it in the pharmaceutical industry all the time. But it's called demand management, and I think that's happening now. And part of what we're going on about the Russians hacking our elections is the demand is arising that we have to stop getting bad candidates and Republican hegemony. But they're being very careful about it, and I don't think there's a consensus on it on the part of people who can manage to some degree the national discourse. But Bob is right. This is a problem that we've talked about for so long, and nobody has wanted for the demand to come forward. They haven't been prepared to manage it profitably, and now there begins to be some solutions. And I'm not so anti-capitalist that I wouldn't be happy for somebody with a good democracy solution to make a business out of it, or as long as it wasn't about the vote count or anything digital that could not be redundantly verified, including at this point voter rolls. So, yeah, the Russians are the boogeyman, and what sinks my heart is we still have Mr. James Comey in his Dudley Do Right moment, which I don't mean to diminish him because, Comey was the Alberto Gonzalez in the middle of that, at the bedside of the dying John Ashcroft. Do you remember that? Andrew Carr going from the White House trying to get the dying John Ashcroft, I believe, to sign off on, what Alberto Gonzalez wants to do is legal. It's all good. It's fine. And James Comey went there to go, don't make this dying guy sign this. He didn't agree with it. That's to the best of my recollection. I've reread it a couple of times. But Comey is a straight shooter. I don't probably agree with him politically on things, but what I know about him is he likes to keep his nose and his conscience clean as best he knows the law, and he knows the law pretty well. So it sank my heart that he said, no, I'm confident. I believe he said, I'm confident no vote counts change. Or they said, are you confident no vote counts change? And he went, yes, I am. And my heart sank. But he then modified the statement somewhat, leaving it, as in, we don't have any evidence that happened. Maybe he left himself, he's going on what he knows now, which is what we've heard from all the officials that we've ever tried to alert. Well, from what we know now, there's no evidence of this, and that's what we're saying. There's not going to be any evidence until it's too late. And I would say the election of Donald Trump is pretty much almost too late, except for where there's life, there's hope. Never too late. We can get back to paper ballots, and there are many people who want to do that, and there's legislation in Congress, but unfortunately we're too damn busy trying to deal with a madman as president to do anything about 2018 or 2020, about our election system. And as Brad Friedman always points out, when you start worrying about it 2 months, 1 month before, it's too late.
John Brakey, what do you think? What's coming next?
Well, what I think is coming next is that people are waking up. They're alarmed. I think that we as activists, first off, I want to say I'm no longer an integrity activist. I'm a transparency activist. I know that the system has to be treated that you trust no one. That is how elections should work. And it does have to be verified, tandem, or redundant, as Mimi says. And I know that at this point in time right now, we have three severe problems that we have to work on now and come up with solutions. And one is election fraud is real. Voter suppression, micro-targeting is real. That's two. And if we don't start winning, we're going to go into another cycle of gerrymandering, which is a really, really ugly problem in this country that robs us of being able to elect competent people, because gerrymandering forces both sides to go to the far right or the far left, and because you have systems like that, that must be stopped. And the only way that I see that we can do that is to educate, litigate, and then just keep pushing. And that's where these ballot images, going after them, is something that we could win under the Mandamus Act. And if we play our cards right, keep our cases simple, get about 15, 20 states with a massive effort, that even we'll probably win and our lawyers will get paid. If not, and then have legislation ready to follow right afterwards, because we're going to make a lot of news. You know, Bob knows this. Bob sued the Secretary of State. He sued 13 counties. They went into court and they said, Your Honor, we never turned that system on. That was a lie. The system doesn't work unless it's on. It doesn't count the ballot. It counts the image. That we can rally around and we can win and we can feel good about it. And this is an opportunity that if we let go by, we've made a mistake maybe of not our lifetime, but our children's lifetime.
Well, the mistake is with us every day in the circus act that we've seen from Donald Trump. And, you know, there's simply no doubt that he is not legitimately elected, and that the world is in crisis because of, I don't think anybody imagined. Maybe we imagined, but he is so much worse than we could have tangibly believed if you had laid out what he has done in his short time in office, from undermining our entire credibility in the whole world, personally insulting the Prime Minister of Germany and numerous other countries. I mean, this guy could not be invented. Bob Patrakis, what is the next step that we need to take here to make sure that this never happens again? I mean, the one reality that we have to really cope with, and Bob, as a Green, you're in the midst of this, is that we did have and still do have a hard core, a huge core of Green social Democrats out there, many of them young, ready to take this country and look at what we're dealing with. What do we do next, Bob Patrakis?
Well, you know, I think we've got to insist on transparent elections. We've got to absolutely insist that we end, you know, partisan proprietary softwares, private companies dealing with our machines. There's got to be paper ballots. There's got to be accountability. That unless we can stop the non-transparency, does it really matter? They've known since 1964. They've known since Roy Saltman wrote about it in 64 in the 70s, that there was a massive problem with the ability to hack and shift computers. We need to move away from these computerized machines. We need to take back the databases for voter registration. It must be incumbent upon the state to register all its citizens, and we've got to simply get rid of, outlaw, make it illegal for anyone to use this proprietary secret software, which invites hacking.
Maybe?
Well, you know, I'm just going to say this. If they don't have paper ballots in Georgia on June 20th, there we go, down the drain. And that's something people should do right now. Every time this comes up, we should be writing and calling. In Georgia, I guess you'd call the Secretary of State's office. You look it up on Google. That's one thing everybody could do that's listening to this before June 20th. There is a lawsuit saying we need paper ballots because these systems have been hacked and they're paperless. It's a meaningless election. No matter who wins, we need it on paper ballots. Can we please have that? And I'm sure they're going to be told no, but maybe they won't. Maybe this lawsuit will convince somebody in tandem with James Comey, or at least the stuff that's come out since that first election where John Ossoff went over 50%. That would have been it. He would have won outright for the Democrats. Oh, a bellwether. Oh, the Republicans would have been so horrible. So 2 hours of a glitch, and when the glitch was over, somebody had repaired and fixed the computer so that John Ossoff went below 50% and never saw over 50% for the rest of the night, and there had to be a runoff between the Republican and the Democrat.
And of course,
and now,
you know,
and the Republican is the ex-Secretary of State of Georgia who allowed this voting system to proliferate and prosper for all the years she was Secretary of State.
And now she's going to benefit from it. We have to remember also that there's massive Jim Crow disenfranchisement in this district, including up to 10,000
yep.
Asian Americans stripped from the voter rolls. The thing is rigged right from the start. The only thing I've ever agreed with Donald Trump on is that the elections are being rigged. He would know. He's been rigging them. John Brakey, what do you think? What do we do now?
What we do now is, like I said, investigate, litigate, educate, get out there and read my paper tonight. It's coming out. It's called Publicly Verified Elections Are Key to Decorrupting Our Democracy.
Well, one thing we do know, that in a fair election, we would win. If there had been a fair election process in 2016, Bernie Sanders would now be president.
Yep.
At very least, vice president. And
yep.
The one thing we could say that's good about Donald Trump is that the American people never elected him. Which is exactly what we said about George W. Bush. And so what we need to do now, of course, is get rid of all these electronic voting machines. Is the whole Russian thing a diversion? Well, you know, a lot of people think so, but I actually think that it has allowed us to pry into this. I mean, because anybody with a brain, if they're yelling and screaming about the elections being hacked by the Russians, what they're acknowledging is that the elections can be hacked.
Yep.
You know, I added that Vault 7. It was a huge release. It showed the tools used to steal. And if the Russians did do something, is it anything different that we didn't do first?
All right. Hey, listen, guys. We're done. We'll see you next week. Thank you, crew in New York. I sent you the blurb. Thank you, John. Bob,
either way,
Mimi,
we got
we'll talk again.
When the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.